This comes from a socialist party, I'm sure. Let's see where it's printed. Chicago Socialist Group. It's in the Loop, Chicago. And it was passed out to a place where many of our college students work. In fact, this particular place lacks to employ Hiles Anderson students. It's a hog calling company. And every 2 weeks, we hand out the socialist at, and it gives the name of the initials of the place. And nearly everyone takes it, except those who tell us, no thanks, we're saved. The only thing they've saved us is a few copies of the socialist for us. But that is not too important. The line they're putting out, though, is dangerous. They're talking about us now. It spells submission to the boss and his system until you receive, quote, your reward, end quote, when you die. Whenever anyone, socialists, unions, workers, talk about fighting the boss, the preachers at this place will answer, lies of the devil. They teach that fighting for something now, whether it be your family, your job security, working conditions, is evil. They will fill sermons with these lies. To believe them and to follow what they preach is to sell your lifeblood to the boss, whatever he's handing out. That's why capitalism gives so much consideration to the established church, and management so much consideration to these self-proclaimed preachers. All through history, the established church has helped the ruling class to control the workers and make them submissive. Cardinal Spellman blessed the bombs for Vietnam, and the German bishop supported Hitler in his extermination camps. If workers believe that God is on the boss's side, it's easier to get us to fight each other and to sacrifice our interests to those of the boss. Many people are drawn to religion just because their lives are made miserable by capitalism. And sometimes a religiously influenced movement can fight against the problems which capitalism creates, but it is not prayer that improves conditions, it is organization. $7 an hour comes from organization. The minimum wage comes from prayer. Company-paid health insurance and doctor care come from organization. Prayer never paid any doctor bills. A steady job comes from organization. A steady hunger from prayer. The socialist draws from facts and from the history of class struggle for our answers, not from the Bible. We believe that most workers will shed the bonds of religion sooner or later. Hear that? We believe that most workers will shed the bonds of religion sooner or later and make the fight for our own salvation in the here and now. Now, that's passed out where many of our folks work, and I'm going to use it tonight and talk to you on socialism and capitalism. I think you ought to hear. Father, help all the people listen carefully and help me to be wise and spirit-filled. And help all of us to renew our vows to give thee our best, yea, our all. Amen. Now I want you to notice several things about the article. I have them numbered in the article. And the reason I'm doing this is because this article is the best example of what socialism really believes of any I've seen in a long time. It says, number one, I want to read this. It says, the only thing, but that is not too important. The line they're putting down, though, is dangerous. First thing I'd like to say is, praise the Lord, we're dangerous. I mean, boy, it's good to have enough influence, enough people standing for God to where it worries the devil and the devil's crowd, you see. You know, we've already made the Catholic newspaper of the Chicago disease. We've already made that. They put an article. You say, I don't like your preaching. And there's doors all around this place. And that's why we have doors, a lot of holes around this place, so the rats can scoop. And he said, I don't believe in criticizing the Catholic. You tell him to quit killing us, and I'll quit criticizing them. More blood been shed by the Catholic hierarchy than... He said, I don't believe in preaching against other denominations. Then don't ever do it. But keep your nose out of my preaching. But anyway, they put out an alert in the Catholic paper. And they said in the alert, said, be on the lookout for buses from Hammond. And they did, no joke. And so we made that. In the same paper, they advertised a tavern. And a bar. And a certain kind of beer. I mean, promoting taverns, bars, and beer. And telling, be on the lookout for folks trying to help little children and tell them about Jesus Christ. We made that one. We made the Jesus Freak paper, too, not long ago. They gave almost a whole issue to us. And we're going up. Now we're going to make the socialist paper. But I want to say this. I'm glad that they consider us a danger. I want to be dangerous to the communists. The God is dead crowd, the adult bookstore crowd, the humanism crowd, the new morality bunch. And we intend out here to stay dangerous to that crowd. By the way, let me say this. Well might they be worried. Well might they be worried. They have a lot to worry about. Because all across this nation, there's a movement. Listen, you know, I know of groups that fundamental groups that plan to start up to total about 2,000 churches in the next few years here in America. And so, well, they might be worried. And so I'm simply saying there ought to always... You know, 2 Thessalonians 2 says, only he who now hindereth will hinder until he be taken out of the way. Now, we're supposed to hinder. And we're supposed to hinder communism, socialism, the new morality, humanism, and all of its cohorts. Then the next thing I want to read on this thing is this. And that is, it spells submission to the boss and his system, and you'll receive your reward when you die. I might add, so will they. So will they. It's not just the folks who are for capitalism and for the Bible, and you're saved, they're going to get what they're going to get rewards when they die. It's the folks who are unsaved, too. The Bible says the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all those that forget God. The Bible says, then should have said, those on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, I don't want anybody to go to hell, and I don't want to rejoice because anybody is. But I want to warn you that it's not just a few righteous nuts. They're going to have to face God one of these days. It's all the people, communists as well as capitalists, socialists as well as freedom lovers, all of them must face God. The third thing I want to say says, fighting for something now, whether it be your family, your job security, working condition is evil. That's what they say we teach. No, the truth is, I spend a good part of my life fighting for something for my family. Amen. For freedom. Salvation. Decency. And protection from the slavery that this crowd would put America under if they took over. Listen, communism and socialism is never for freedom when they're in control. They use the words freedom and democracy when they're in a minority, so we will give them the freedom as a leverage where they can propagate their garbage and their filth and take from us our freedom. I dare you, I challenge you to show me one communist, socialist country in the world that has freedom. Not any such thing. Not any such thing. By the way, the crowd, the countries that believe what this crowd's promoting are countries that don't have as many bathtubs as we have, many cars, radios, as good a food, as nice of clothes, as nice homes. They say they're the answer. I dare them to show me one nation under heaven that's proved they're the answer. No, the system won't work. The system won't work. So they're wrong on this when they say that they teach that fighting for something now, whether it be your family, your job security, working conditions, is evil. No. We're trying to fight for our families. We're trying to keep them free to go to church where they choose. We're trying to keep them free to go soul winning and free to read the Bible and free to rear their families. And by the way, free to even have their own kids stay in their own houses rather than be stolen by the welfare and so forth. And so consequently, they're wrong on that. The truth is Matthew 25 teaches us that God is a capitalist God. He called these fellows together and he said, okay, I'm going to give all of you, I'm going to give you some talents. And I said, I want you to go out and use your talent. That's your money. I want you to use it to make more money. Each man had his own business. He operated his own business in the free enterprise system. And God said, okay, when you come back, I'm going to judge you according to how well you've done in your own little business, free enterprise business, with the money that I've given you. Same thing is true in the parable of the vineyards. In Ephesians chapter 6, our Lord does say that servants are to obey their employers and obey those that have authority over them. And in Luke 3:14, listen to this one, folks. In Luke 3:14, John the Baptist said, be content with your wages. I just quoted it. Luke 3:14. Be content with your wages. No, I don't think policemen ought to strike. No, I don't think school teachers ought to strike. No, I don't think that firemen ought to strike. I think folks ought to put in a good day's work. And I'll guarantee you one thing. You Howells Anderson students, you howl out if you want to, but brother, if I ever hear you loaf on a job, I'll get a gag and put it in your mouth and you'll never say amen again in First Baptist Church. Well, B.B. Krim used to say God hates a lazy devil. I'm not sure God does, but I know I do. Say, well, you shouldn't hate anybody. Nobody's perfect. God's a capitalist God. Listen to this. They will fill sermons with these lies. It's a strange thing for folks whose father is the father of liars and lies to say that we're telling a lie. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now listen to me. If you don't get but one thing in this article, you get this. There is a force that's loose in America that hates what we stand for and would close these doors and burn this Bible and shut this mouth and destroy us if they could. Now they're after us. They're after us. You say, well, how don't you think they have freedom to pass out this literature? Absolutely not. Not at all. Nobody has any freedom to pass out literature that destroys freedom. Nobody. Anybody. Nobody has the right to use our freedom in an effort to destroy our freedom. Then it says, that's why capitalism gives so much consideration to the established church. And management, so much consideration to these self-proclaimed preachers. What it's saying is that they're hiring our preacher boys instead of their lazy devils. And no management at this place is not hiring our preacher boys because of organized religion. They're hiring our preacher boys because they've learned the word work, and they'll do it and give a good day's work for a good day's pay. And by the way, if you don't give that, you better write Mother and tell her to prepare your bed, because you'll be sleeping in it pretty soon. I mean, listen, it's as spiritual to work as it is to shout. In fact, it's more spiritual. Now, I'm not against shouting after you've worked a good hard day. It's as spiritual to work as it is to teach the Bible or go soul winning. And they said, well, consideration because... No, consideration because our fellows work. That's why they're giving consideration. Now, I want to say this also. That is, it says in this article, many people are driven to religion just because their lives were made miserable by capitalism. Well, I'd like to agree with them on that. I think that's true. But here at First Baptist Church, we don't believe in religion. See, we believe in being born again, believe that, and we don't believe in religion. So the truth is, in the Bible, seven times the word religion, I can't even say it, because I don't like it. The word religion, seven times, only one time does it denote something good, and that's when it says pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and keep oneself unspotted from the world. That's the only time religion is mentioned as good. The six times it's mentioned as bad. Six is man's number and religion is man-made. And six times it's called bad. What am I saying? I'm simply saying the honest, simple truth is religion, they're right. Religion is not the answer. Getting born again is the answer. Jesus thundered down through eternity, "Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again." And what the country needs, not a bunch of religion. We have enough religion right now. The truth is, most of these folks are religious. They don't believe the Bible. But their God is their socialist system and their communist philosophy. Now, they say also, but it is not prayer that improves conditions. It is organization. Well, I'd like to have them organize a few healing. I'd like them to organize that fellow that was at our services down at the Civic Center while this building was being built. Came down the aisle, looked up at me and said, "Pastor, I can see. 57 years old, been blind for years." And suddenly, miraculously in the service, his vision came back. No healing line, no tent campaign, no bottles of oil, no bed sheets turned into handkerchiefs. And I don't know, except his eyes were open. Now, organize that. Organize that. One time they said to Sam Jones, they said that he was being interviewed, and one of the newspaper reporters said, "You're not so hot, the press made you." He said, "Make another." Make another one. No, the honest, simple truth is, religion is not the answer. I'm talking to folks in this room tonight who belong to churches, but you know nothing about the new birth. I'm talking to folks in this room tonight. Your name's on a church roll. You've been baptized. You've been confirmed. You've taken communion, maybe. You live as good as you can, maybe, but you've not been born again. No, you don't. Fellas, so which religion is the right one? All of them are wrong. You get born again to go to heaven. That's the only way, only chance you have to walk the golden streets or walk through gates of pearl, is to come to Christ in believing faith and turn from your sin in faith, trust the Savior. And when you do that, God imparts to you His own divine nature, regenerates you, makes you a new creature, writes your name in heaven, forgives your sins, and justifies you in the sight of God Himself. And you've been born again. That's all, and that's the only hope you've got. If you've not been born again. But you said to the house, I'm a preacher. I know, but you're born again. But you said to the house, I'm a good man. But have you been born again? But you say, I've been baptized. But have you been born again? But you say, I've been confirmed. But have you been born again? But you said to the house, I was sprinkled as a baby. But have you been born again? You said to the house, I'm a student at a Christian college. But have you been born again? You say, I know the Bible. But have you been born again? Jesus said, "Marvel not that I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven." Old
George Whitfield used to preach on the sermon, "You must be born again." Over 3,000 times he preached on it, "You must be born again." The same sermon over 3,000 times. Somebody came one time and said, "Mr. Whitfield, why is it you preach so often on the one theme, you must be born again?" And Mr. Whitfield, it is said that he could 20,000 people could hear him without a PA system. It is said he could speak the word Mesopotamia and make folks cry because he was such an orator. They said, "Why do you preach so much on you must be born again?" Mr. Whitfield, "Thunk it out! Because you must be born again." That's why. That's why. No, I'm afraid I have to agree with these folks on this point. Religion's not the answer. But here the poor folks, they don't understand that we're not a religion out here. No, this is not religion. This is belief in the finished work of Calvary, of being born into the family of God. We're a bunch of people meeting together in a building every Sunday to get out the gospel and fellowship with each other and grow in grace and get enough courage to go out and cover this area like a prairie fire to witness to folks and get folks born again. It's not religion this whole country needs. No, this country's got enough religion. Watching a poor fellow a while ago, watching the news, and after that, a fellow came on this Chicago Sunday evening supper club. Why don't somebody tell those people there's New Testament churches in the area? They can go and hear the gospel preached. And they had some fellow there with a seat of the breeches around his neck, doing the best he could, and didn't have a tie, and had a Kleenex up here around his collar. And poor, crazy fellow. And then, that's not the need for America. No, that's not the need for America. Need for America is a generation of Billy Sundays and Sam Joneses and Bob Jones Seniors. Need for America is a generation of Charles Spurgeons and Dwight Moody's and R.A. Torres. Need, Dr. Bob Jones used to say, he used to have a habit of doing like this when he preached. Remember that? And then he had a bald head. I can't illustrate this because I have so much hair. But used to wipe his head like this and he'd preach and do like this. He'd say, "America's full of religious perverts! Religious perverts!" He said, "All America needs is another 3,000 preachers going up and down this country preaching, 'You must be born again' every Sunday. That's what this country needs." Like that. Over and over again. Yeah, that is what this country needs. And that's what you need. You've not been born again. Your religion won't do. Your baptism won't do. Your good works won't do. Turning over a new leaf won't do. Somebody asked the other day, asked me a question down in Maryland where I was preaching, said, why did God curse the fig tree? I think there's several reasons why God cursed the fig tree. I think there's one great reason why God cursed the fig tree. I think God cursed the fig tree because that was the thing that Adam and Eve used in the Garden of Eden to try to cover their nakedness. And I think God never has liked the fig tree much ever since that. I think God looks down and sees that fig tree and says that fig tree represents what man tried to do to cover himself. And it didn't do. And God took an animal and slew the animal, made a coat of skins, and gave it to man. And God cursed the fig tree. Why? Because your good works won't do it. Your baptism won't do it. And sincerity won't do it. And being sincere won't do it. You've got to come to the place to where you say, "I know I'm a sinner, and I know I deserve to go to hell, and I know that God's own Son, God incarnate, became flesh, went to Calvary and became my substitute on the cross. 'Tis done, the great transaction's done. I am my Lord's and He is mine. He drew me and I followed on, charmed to confess His love divine. Happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day when Jesus washed my sin." And if I could not remember tonight, if I couldn't get up and say in front of this crowd, if you say, "I want to tell you, I was at a certain place, I remember where it was, and I recall what happened, when I realized I was a sinner, and I realized that sinners are lost, I realized that Jesus died for sinners, and I received the work of Calvary as my hope for heaven, the finished work that Jesus did." If I couldn't get up and give a testimony like that, you couldn't keep me from running down this aisle tonight, getting on my knees and getting born again. Well, they said, religion, the honest, simple truth is, there's no religion, no group in the world, no religion in the world, as religious as socialism. Hold it. You say, "Well, they say they hate the Bible." They do hate the Bible, but they are a religion. You say, "What do you mean?" I mean this. Socialism is a man-made canopy of protection and security
because people do not believe that God can take care of them. As a country loses its faith in this book, there is nothing else to do but organize with men, other men, so we can take up the slack in case any of us has any trouble. But bless your little old heart. I've got enough answers to prayer. I like when they said here, said prayer doesn't feed anybody. Oh, pooh. They ought to add, the statement's true. If they just added one little line, as far as they know. Poor. Say prayer doesn't help me. Yeah, I know it. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That doesn't include you, buddy. Didn't say of a heathen. Said a righteous man. How you can get fed by prayer. Get born again. Give all you have to God and believe Him and trust Him and believe there's a God in heaven that takes care of His own. Listen, I've been preaching 28 years I've been pastoring churches. Almost 30 years I've been a licensed preacher. I have never yet, now I'm here tonight, but never have yet, had any person come to me begging food who was born again and a tither. Now, I've had folks come to me that I found out didn't have some food for the next meal, and I gave it to them. But that was God providing. And I gave them some money in some cases. Now, by the way, don't come begging me for money tonight. I'm give out. But I'm simply saying there's a God in heaven that does take care of His own. Now, then, I want you to notice this. Something else they say. They say, it is not prayer that improves conditions, it is organization. I dare you to prove that with the countries of the world. The best conditions the world has ever seen came from a capitalist country. Most of the automobiles in the world today are the United States. And most of the nice homes and the radios and the televisions and electric appliances and the air conditioning system and the central heating and the two-car families, most all of them, are right here in America. Truth is, you go down to socialist Cuba, over to socialist Russia, or any other socialist nation on the face of the earth, and you won't have the conveniences and the conditions that we have. I mean, $7 an hour comes from organization. Yeah, so does 70 cents a gallon. Says $7 an hour comes from organization. Yeah, so does $250 a month rent. And $7 an hour. Listen. America had more before we made $7 an hour. More of everything. Now, look, I am a little tired of capitalism being a bad word. I am a capitalist. America is a capitalist nation. Capitalism simply means private ownership of property, private ownership of business, and the right for a man to have his own business and make his own business and make his own profit. And I'm a capitalist. And by the way, God's a capitalist God. This Bible's a capitalist book. And the church is a capitalist organization. And I'm a capitalist, and anybody that believes this book is a capitalist. And I'm a little tired of people saying, well, capitalism is a bad word. No, it's not. It's a good word. It is a Bible word, and the Bible teaches throughout its pages capitalism. And I'm tired of these heathen making fun of it. Now, let me say again, this crowd... Say, tell me why that Czechoslovakian tennis player is defecting to America. She came here to play in our national tennis tournament. Why is she defecting to America? And why is it that America is the country that has more immigrants than any other nation on the face of the earth. Why?
Tell you why. As sorry as our system is, and it's being made so by people and philosophies like this, as sorry as it is, it still is the greatest system on the face of the earth today. We have people in this room who grew up in other countries. Ask Mr. Nischik over here. Ask him what it's like to be under communism in Russia. Ask many other people in our church what it's like. The honest, simple truth is, capitalism, I mean the kind in America, where a fella can still, or could before income tax got ridiculous, could start the log cabin and become somebody and make his million. And by the way, I'm for millionaires. Fella starts off and works and works and works and works and sacrifices and labors, he has a right to make money. Now, he doesn't have a right to keep it. So what you supposed to do with it? Give it to the Hiles Anderson College Fund. No, you don't have a right to be rich. Hold on. You have a right to be rich, government-wise, but you have no right to be rich as far as God's concerned. Russell Anderson gives God $9 out of every $10 he makes. His wife buys her clothes at Kmart. They raise a garden. And he gives and he gives and he gives and he gives and he gives. He's given over $1.5 million to this church in the last 10 years. Over $1.5 million. Now, I don't think a person has a right to make all he can make. I don't think a person has the right to stack it up and build bigger barns and get more accounts. I don't think so. But he does have a right to make it without the government taking it all. Well, I think. Then they said, here. Said, the minimum wage comes from prayer. Company-paid health insurance and doctor care comes from organization. Prayer never paid any doctor bills. Poor fool. A steady job comes from organization. A steady hunger comes from prayer. Now, get the fallacy of it. A while ago he said that our guys are getting the jobs in the place of the socialists. And then he says down here, a steady job comes from organization, not prayer. What the poor fool doesn't realize, all the praying our folks been doing for jobs, that's all. He says the prayers are getting all the jobs. Then he says jobs come from organization, not prayer. I'd like to tell him a few things. I'd like to tell him some stories. How that God has reached to heaven's bounty and dropped things over the portals of heaven and down to earth to this preacher time and time and time again. I'd like to tell him a few things. Some of you college students, God bless you. When I enrolled in East Texas Baptist College in Marshall, Texas, the greenest preacher boy that ever went off to school, I didn't have one dime in my pocket. Not one dime in my pocket. Not one dime! I got on my knees on the courthouse square, Marshall, Texas, a town of 22,000 people, county seat. Got up on the courthouse square and got on my knees and I said, oh God, take care of my needs. Lord, I don't have any money and I need a job. Oh God, give me a job. I looked up and I saw the JCPenney company down the street. Looked down the street and I walked right. I said, Lord, give me a job there. JCPenney company. I got off money, folks walking by and laughing at me and making fun because I was on my knees with my Bible open on the courthouse square. And I walked down to JCPenney company. And I had an open Bible when I walked in. I walked in and asked a fellow, where is the manager? They said, there he is. Big, fat fellow, a lot big bushy head of gray hair. And I walked over and I said, Mr. Croft? He said, yes. I said, my name is Jack Hiles. He said, what can I do for you? I said, I think I'm going to work here. He said, you going to work here? He said, we just laid off four men because the summer slump in business. And He said, I don't need anybody. And he said, well, who told you to go to work here? And I said, just a few minutes ago, Mr. Croft, up on the courthouse square, oh, my Bible to Jeremiah 33:3. It says, call on me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. And I asked God for a job and looked down here and God wanted to give me a job here. And I said, I think I'm going to work here. He looked at me and he said, you're hired. I never forget what he said. He said, you're either going to be the best salesman this store's ever had or the biggest flop in the history of this county. And he said, I'd die if I didn't find out which one. I'll give you two guesses which one it was. You run faster when you're hungry and scared. And I went to work. Now, I didn't organize that job down from God. No, I didn't. When I graduated from high school, many of you heard me tell the story. We didn't have caps and gowns. My mother came to me the day before graduation. No, I'm sorry, the morning of graduation. She said, son, you can't graduate tonight. And I said, why? She said, because you've got to have a new suit and a tie, and we don't have any money. We live together, the two of us live alone together. We don't have any money. And she said, I'm sorry, I just don't have it. I don't know where to get it. And I went back in the little back room of our little apartment and got on my knees and opened my Bible. And I said, dear God, I want to graduate, and I pray you'd give me a suit of clothes before tonight. I was on my knees. That mail postman came, a letter to Jack Hiles. I was only a 17-year-old lad. From my Uncle Harvey, God bless him, he's in heaven now. Uncle Harvey wrote me a letter. And he said, dear Jack, I heard you were graduating. I didn't have time to buy you a present. I hope this $50 check will do. It would do. Very fine. Back in those days, you could buy a whole wardrobe for $50. And I went down to Reynolds Penman Men's Store in Dallas. I can still see that little suit, that little, I forget what they call it, nail head. Is there nail head material? Huh? Huh? What? Has a little. Boy, you're dumb. And I can see that suit. And I got me a pair of shoes. And I got me a tie. And I got me a pair of socks. And I got me a new white shirt. And that night I walked across the platform of the McFarland Auditorium at SMU campus in Dallas, where we had our graduation for Adamson High School. They called my name, and I walked across the platform. And as I walked across the platform, you couldn't convince me there was no living God. I knew there was a God that answered prayer and provided for the needs of His own. While I was on my knees, you say, hey, that's sort of a hand-to-mouth existence. Yes, from God's hand to my mouth. Been that way for years. Yeah, there's a God in heaven. There's a God in heaven. Yes, there is. And you don't organize jobs. You pray down jobs. Funny thing, all these folks at organization does so much. Why you spend so much time killing each other, fighting, rioting? I never have had a strike. Suppose I got me a placard out here in the front, went down saying unfair to preachers, unfair to preachers. Did you know most of the school teachers in our schools would qualify for welfare? I mean that. I mean it. Most of the teachers in Hammond Baptist Grade School, Hammond Baptist High School, and Hiles Anderson College, if they applied, could get food stamps. Hey, get it. We can sell the food. Raise enough money for the college. This kind of garbage and trash is going to destroy this country if we don't start meaning business for God. Now, let me say this. Listen to this now. We believe that most workers will shed the bonds of religion sooner or later and make the fight for our own salvation in the here and now. Now, listen to me. This kind of stuff. Now, if we're in control, we give them the right to put out this stuff. But if they're in control, they don't give anybody the right to put out any material. You pass out some tracts in Russia. You go to Cuba, have a few street services. One of the saddest things that's happened in our generation is that we don't hate the word communism anymore.
every time God's people hear the word communism, their ears ought to twitch, and their face ought to flush, and their fists ought to clench, and their blood pressure ought to go up, and their anger ought to be stirred. Why? Because it's against everything that you and I hold dear and precious. Everything. I heard old Dr. Rice say many times, he say, when you mention sin, don't just say you're against it. Stomp your foot. Beat the pulpit. Holler. Scream. Why? Not only why, because this kind of stuff would close the doors of this church, kill this preacher. Burn these Bibles. And by the way, the same pagan philosophy will take your kids away from you. Look, it's not the boss that they're after. And it's any authority other than the state. Any authority other than the socialistic system. That's why they hate Christianity. Because Christianity says, follow God and not man. And when we have someone to whom we give our allegiance, they don't like it. That's why they hate the home. That's why in America tonight, there is a serious move afoot to take our children out of our homes. That's what this, by the way, that's what this seemingly innocent child care business is all about. The government has the kids now from the time they're 5 to the time they're 18. They go to a state school, the government has them from 5 through 22. And now they want to get them from 1 through 4. Why? They want your child to give first allegiance to the state and not to mom and dad. Now I say this. And I say this to encourage your heart. We are their biggest threat. And I've never seen a day in my ministry when I was as encouraged as I am right now about the hope. There's something, and I can't tell you this, can't tell you what it is. There's something going to go on week after next of which I'll be a part. That's going to be one of the most exciting things that's happened in America in a long time. Organizing in some way to help us keep our freedoms. I don't know all about it myself, but I know enough to know that it could be the dawn of a day where God's people who are born again might start being able to work together to save our freedoms and vote together and stand together and put some decent people in office again in America and alert America when laws are passed. Now they're passed secretly, alert us so we'll know. And besides that, there are more great churches growing up across this nation than any country in the history of the world's ever known. Ever known. Did you know America? Why, apart from maybe Moody Church in the days of Ironsides, America's never known churches that have crowds this big on Sunday night. Never. While I'm standing here tonight, there are hundreds and hundreds, especially young preachers across this country, that are bellowing and hollering and screaming and beating the pulpit just like I am, that are playing more havoc with city councils and plan commissions and adult bookstores. There's a fellow right here tonight. Now, I'm not suggesting you do it. A fellow right here in this room tonight. His own pastor preached a sermon on get on fire for God. And he preached against it. I think it's an adult bookstore. And the fellow got all excited and he got a little too worked up. And he went down and struck a match and set the adult bookstore on fire. Now, wait a minute, hold it. Now, you know I'll be in jail in the morning if you do that tonight here. I don't think that's the way to do it. But thank God somebody hates it enough to do it. I passed by a movie the other day. Out east, movie house, burned to the ground. I just cried and cried and cried. We had some of our boys here. Kids, bus kids, went down and robbed the Catholic church one Sunday morning. Got their offering. I'm not for that. except we're trying to raise $2.5 million. This Sunday they worked on the Lutherans. Methodists the next Sunday. No, I'm not for that. But I'll tell you what. There are more preachers tonight preaching what I'm preaching than this country's ever seen. And there are more fundamental Christians in America tonight than there's been in this country in its history. Now, you know what? One thing that encourages me, the reason they're trying to close our schools, they're getting afraid of us. You give us a few years to turn these nuts here loose on this country to Hiles Anderson College. Now, you say, what's it going to take? It's going to take complete dedication, giving God everything. That's what it's going to take. All of it. It's going to take every single fundamentalist in this nation saying, I'm going to, listen, that's one reason why I go so much. I don't know. We can sit here and holler and preach. My holler now, not yours. Stall and so forth. But I don't think most of us really understand what it's going to mean. If this crowd takes over. I've said this. I am on the list of the 10 most wanted men in America for the Communist Party. I am one of the 10 men in America, first 10, they'll kill when they take over. That's why I want you to work so hard to keep it from taking over. I'm like that kamikaze pilot. There's a Chinese fella, kamikaze pilot, and his name was Chow Main. You know, those are the guys that the dive bombers. They give their lives, you know, just to destroy a building or something. And the fella said, "Who are you?" He said, "My name's Chow Main." Were you in the Army? Yeah, I was in the Air Force. What were you? I was a kamikaze pilot, a suicide squad, in the Air Force. I said, well, how come you're still alive? He said, me chicken chow mein. Now, me chicken Jack Hyle. Now, don't kid yourself. They're after us. They're after us. The crowd that's after Roloff is a socialist crowd. The crowd that's after Falwell is a socialist crowd. The crowd that's after Roger Goldman is a socialist crowd. And they're trying everything they can try to squeeze fundamental churches off the map. And if they take over, they'll send the army. They'll close these doors. And you teenage girls over here, will give birth to babies you'll never rear. And you men will have little boys and girls call you daddy that you'll never see. You say, what's causing it? You folks that never win a soul. You folks that give God maybe Sunday morning and sometimes Sunday night. Listen. I resolved about 10 years ago that no Stokely Carmichael or Jerry Rubin is going to holler louder and scream more about their dirty garbage and trash that will ruin this country than Jack Hiles is going to scream about this book and the truth of God. Now, the honest truth is every single person in this building needs to give God everything, all of it. Don't you realize what I do with that thing? Here it is. Don't you realize? I hadn't thought about this right now. Don't you realize what a red letter day it'll be for this crowd if January the 2nd there's no Hiles Anderson College? I I doubt if there ever has been a college in the history of the New Testament church or a church that has completely saturated an area, a big city, like this church is saturating this area. I mean, everybody in the country knows what's going on. I like what old Dr. Elmer Towns said. It's an introduction, I think, in my book. Something like this, he said. He wanted to come to Hammond First Baptist the first time. Drove down the Dan Ryan Expressway, turned off, couldn't find his way here. Stopped 5 miles away at a service station and said, "Where's First Baptist Church, Hammond?" The fellow said, "Well, you go down." "No, you go over." "No, just sit right there. In less than 60 seconds, it'll be an old blue bus by here. And you just follow that bus." And Dr. Towns said, "Well, no, but what if that bus has already come?" He said, "Mr., there'll be another one in 60 seconds by here." He said, "But what if the both of them have come?" He said, "Mister, between 8:45 or 9 and 9:30, there ain't no 60-second period. What when those old blue buses don't come by here?" And Dr. Towns just sat out there, said, "Sure enough, within 60 seconds, when those blue buses came by, he followed the bus. I go to the airport many a Monday morning. If I didn't know the way to the airport, I could find it halfway, just following our buses broken down the highway." I dare you to just go down Dan Ryan Expressway some Monday morning early. Just go from bus to bus. Yeah. Young people, listen to me. If you've got rock music at home, you are a part of this crowd. You're a part of it. Rock music is the very beat and tune that Mr. Lenin of Russia said he would use with which to destroy the morals of this nation. You know, I just don't see eye to eye with you. See nose to nose then, you fool. You don't have to see it. Trust somebody's got more sense than you have. You say, "Who does?" You're looking at him right now. So what can we do? Give it all. You folks that don't tithe, you're in cahoots with this crap. But I'm going to use my tithe to pay my tuition. If I find out about it, I'm going to use it to pay your car fare home. Everything. Eight years ago, I decided I was going to give it all ahead. Folks snicker sometime when I get hoarse, cough, clear my throat. They say, "Why do you do it?" I went to a doctor, Jacksonville, Florida, specialist. He looked at my throat, looked at my nose. I think you'll agree I have one of the most beautiful noses in America today. And it's because I use it so much, nose than somebody else's been. But anyhow, he said, "Dr. Hiles," he said, "I heard you preach." He said, "You're my father's favorite preacher." He said, "I can help you." He said, if you'll quit crying when you preach," he said, "you won't snort anymore." And I said, "That made me cry." I said, "Doc, I'm going to keep on snorting. I've covered this nation. I preached last year to 32,000 preachers. I don't think there's a preacher in America that has the heartbeat of fundamental preachers any more than I do. They call me day and night for advice and counsel. Tomorrow morning, I'm flying to Detroit as a preacher, flying all the way from Virginia to meet me in Detroit tomorrow morning to spend about 30 or 45 minutes with me because he has trouble in his church and needs somebody to... I've cried over preachers, and this is the gospel truth. I've never found a preacher in these last 8 years in trouble, and I haven't tried to help him, and I've, honest to goodness, I have. And I've gone, and my own kids hardly even have a dad. Why? Only why? Because my country's about to go. That's why. I've said time and time again, when I give my Bible to old Dave for the last time and say, Doc, your dad's preached his last sermon, I want to be able to look him square in the eye and say, I did the best I could to keep you from the guillotine. I got two little grandbabies. I wanted to have a chance. I want Linda and Cindy to have a chance. I want all of our kids to have a chance. The only simple truth is, people that put out this filth and this rot and this garbage would take away from the precious young ladies in this room tonight who have dreams. Of course you have dreams. You have dreams of someday standing here at the altar, giving yourself to the man of God's choosing. Of course you have dreams of someday having a baby of your own and a home of your own. Of course you have dreams of someday coming and putting your baby in the church nursery. Of course you have dreams. You have dreams of someday taking your own child out to Hammond Baptist Grade School and proudly putting that child. I told the deacons last night they're having trouble with the traffic out there. The moms bringing their kids for the first time in the kindergarten, pre-kindergarten, they're stopping and getting out of the cars and going in and being sure the kids are in okay. And the deacon said, what are we going to do about it? I said, just wait a few months. After they've been in school a while, they'll slow down to 30 and say, jump, kid. Remember that first baby you had? Huh? Brought him home in the hospital, put 18 blankets around him with the furnace going. Remember? And you had time for the bottle? What'd you do? You warmed it just right. When I was a young man, you'd warm it in a pan of water. And then you'd pour it on your arm, be sure it was okay. It was okay. And you'd hold the thing and sit there and rock. And I used to sing for Becky, good little girls don't cry, 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 cry. Good little girls don't cry, cry, cry. Becky's not a good girl. Now, that's the first one. That's the first one. How about the second and third and fourth and fifth and sixth, Cal Streeter? What do you do then? You put some little metal birds up there to float around all the time. He cries, you get a pacifier stick in his mouth. He wakes up for his midnight 2 o'clock bottle, what do? You get a Pepsi Cola stick in his mouth and prop it up against a pillow, that's what you do. So when you burp him, let him take 6 or 8 bottles and burp him 6 or 8 times, all at one time. I know you got some dreams, and I want you to have a chance to see them fulfilled. Not another thing, too. But it's about the house. They'll kill you. Well, I'm almost 49. I've lived a full life. God's been good to me. I've preached more sermons than any living American man, I'm sure. I'd 10,000 times rather die fighting this kind of garbage than live cutting my message and compromising. I want our folks to have a chance. Our little kids, our young people. You know the young people in our church that enrolled in college this year, you know how old they were when I became their pastor, some of them? one. One and 2 years old. I've seen them grow up. I want them to have a right. So often, I come in late. Night after night I've done this. I've come in late at night, flown most of the night, 3 o'clock in the morning, maybe come in. I've gotten my car at the airport. I've driven to Hammond. I've driven by many of your houses, many of our young people. And I've said, oh God, help me to be the kind of prophet across this nation. It'll help my people have a chance. I've seen some little girls give up babies. I've seen it. Some young ladies in this room right now, some of the dearest friends I have on the face of the earth, some of the sweetest friends, some of the sweetest girls I know, some of the most precious young ladies I know in the whole world are sitting in this room right now. And they have little babies they'll never see. They come to my office and say, Brother Hiles, I'm going to have a baby. We cry together. And I say, don't keep it. let some good Christian family adopt it. Don't keep it. And they'll come to my office every week. Some of them will have an appointment with them for 7 or 8 months. Depends on how much time is left before the baby's due. I cut up with them. They come in there, you know, real big. I'll teach you something about that sometime. Man, real big. And I'll grin at them. I said, you're gaining weight. You got to go on a diet. I'll tell one of them, I just got a call from the Chicago Bears. They're looking for a tackle. And they'll laugh. And they love me. And I've been their friend. I've stood at this bus station twice since I've been pastor here and waved goodbye to little girls expecting babies. I stood over here one day at St. Catherine's Hospital and saw a little lady take her baby she'd just given birth to and give it to someone and grimace, and that baby is in another state. I was preaching the day in another state. A good-looking little boy, about 12 years old, came up and said, do you know who I am? And I said, no. He said, I'm the baby that you saw given away 12 years ago. And I thought about that mother. Wonder where she is. Wouldn't you love to see him? I've seen enough of that. I don't want all of our young people to give birth to it and have some dirty, rotten communists take them away and put them in some home somewhere or in some communal. I don't want that. Listen to me for a minute. I'd lay down and die if I could. It'd help. I believe my life is doing more good than my death would, but I'd be glad to die if it'd help. I mean it. I've got a list of things I'd die for written down in my office. So why'd you make a list? Because I want to know what I'm going to die for. I don't want to go off half cock someday and die and say, uh-oh. If I ever die, I'm going to die on purpose, boy. And if somebody sticks that gun to me, I'm going to say, hold it, hold it. Let me see if that's on my list. I'm not dumb as I look, boy. I hope you're not. But I've made up my mind. My heart's aches. I know what I'm going to do. When David played on the high school basketball team, Hammond Baptist High School, say, did he make the first team? Sure, I'm superintendent of schools, ain't I? They played 64 games, I think, in those 2 years he started on the basketball team. I was there at tip-off one time. And couldn't stay the whole game. Every kid on the team had his dad there. Said, Dave, I was off somewhere trying to stir some preachers. Said, Brother Hiles, I wish I was as lucky as you. Wish I could travel. You been to Arizona? Yeah. What's the Grand Canyon look like? Have no idea. You been to California? Los Angeles? Yeah. What's Hollywood look like? Never saw it. Been to Miami?
Sure, many times.
Well, what does Miami Beach look like?
I don't know. I never saw it.
You been to Los Angeles?
Yeah.
What does Disneyland look like?
I don't know. Never saw it. Passed by it. Never seen it.
Said, what does Knott's Berry Farm look like?
Stayed right across the street from it 2 whole weeks. Never went inside of it. I don't know.